Talk and Tunes. Broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territories, this is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's your next hour of commentary and music.
Oh, we just need one night, to apply the good pressure.
This is part two of a two-part series. If you haven't listened to the first part, go check it out now on cjsf.ca. CJSF broadcasts on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam First Nations, and Typically Tuesdays is produced on unceded territories of the Catsey, Coquitlam, and Stolo First Nations. By unceded territories, we mean that these lands were never surrendered, relinquished, nor handed over to neither of the states of what we know today to be Canada nor British Columbia. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers of this land. With particular regard to today's episode, we pose questions with our land acknowledgement. What are Chinese Canadians' relationships to these lands and to the state as racialized and Chinese settlers? How does being Canadian inform how Chinese Canadians navigate solidarity and community with other racialized individuals and Indigenous peoples in Canada? My conversation with Gal tries to explore these questions. Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. My name is Leslie.
Hello, hello. I'm Gal.
Yeah, Gal is a local artist and tattoo artist who's joining me for this program that I've decisively calling Chinese Canadian Power Hour. We have a playlist for today's episode, so the theme being Chinese Canadian Power Hour. The playlist is going to be called Chinese Canadian Power Hour the Musical, even though there's no storyline. It's just, you know, it's like, it's in the drafts, you know? It's just, this is a jukebox musical, and it's in the drafts. We're gonna start off with the first song. This is Shatter by Cutsleeve.
Of you in my mind, but I am not one of your kind. Someone is waiting for me, waiting on me. Can't get you out of my head, can't put that face in my bed, but someone is waiting for me. Waiting on me, waiting on me. But you
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. You just heard Beast by Yamantaka Sonic Titan. My name is Leslie.
And I'm chatting with local artist and tattooist Gal, aka Lucky.Money on Instagram. We are chatting about Chinese settler identity.
I just realized one way that we could make it just like even more Chinese Canadian, but it would be heavily inaccessible for a lot of people, is if we just talked in Cantonese the whole time. That is the option. It is community radio and I can do what I want because this is my show. I do what I want. We were just talking, you know, about like signifiers of culture and stuff like that. Today I should also mention, so we're talking today about Chinese Canadian things because it's July 1st on the day we're recording this. This is a day that holds some significance and some horrible things as well for Chinese Canadians. You can learn more by reading some good resources out there, for example, by Chinatown Today about Humiliation Day and the Chinese Exclusion Act. But we're trying to keep it a little bit lighter, I think, because we have already uncovered some trauma in some ways. We can talk a little bit about something that you brought up earlier, Gal, when we were trying to like organize this episode, is like having a mindful Chinese Canadian identity. I just realized this is not light at all, but we could talk about that. I almost wonder, I suppose something that is of a topic on having like a mindful Chinese Canadian identity is kind of like how maybe individually our identities have shifted over the years as we've as we've existed as children of the diaspora and also birthright citizenship Canadians or whatever. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. There's like the general discussion and there's like the personal discussion. Well, let's talk about it this way. As a Chinese person, we don't benefit from a lot of xenophobia in our local area, which in my opinion is quite present, and I feel it, and it's not subtle sometimes. But I also want to keep in mind our intersections, and being East Asian and Chinese, we're lucky to have, you know, community around us, and I don't want to say lucky because I don't want us to be lucky in this way, but we are lucky in the sense of like colorism and the model minority myth, and we're seen as like, you know, the better people of color to people that are racist. Can I say that? Okay. Yeah. You know, like some of our bad stereotypes are that we're just really good at math, which is still very annoying. Like I use my phone calculator these days. We are very privileged as like light-skinned East Asian people in the sense that we still get to like pass and have access to a lot of spaces, and that we are also not free of perpetuating harm to other BIPOC. And I think it's really important to remember that. I feel like what I see that as a trend, it's like, and it's good that we are aware of when we face racism, whether it's systemic and institutionalized racism or just general public racism. But I don't want us to only focus on that and get caught up on that, because we are privileged in certain ways over other marginalized groups. And it's important that we understand our intersections, our presence, how that affects other people, and to be mindful of it. I don't know how deep you want me to go into this, Leslie. I could bring up the previous example that I brought up to you, but yes. Okay. Well,
I mean, if you want to, I just wanted to kind of say, like, I
If it's all right, if I like cut in here a little bit.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, like, yeah, I think these are very important conversations to be having, like, amongst other Chinese people and light-skinned Asian people. Like, we benefit a lot from colorism, which has in some ways like trickled down to like things like class, right? And like, for example, like being able to purchase and own property on stolen lands, right? I think for me, like, I'll use myself as an example. Like, the term Chinese Canadian was not something that I ever really strongly identified with when I was younger. And then as I got older, it seemed like I had to kind of do that because of, you know, racism and stuff. But the more that I kind of like, sometimes I hear the term Canadian being ascribed to me, I feel like I don't really know if I agree with that, right? Because like, I don't want to, I'm trying to do what I can to not be complicit in like settler colonialism.
Yes.
And then at the same, and like also recognizing, you know, the nation state is a social construct in some ways.
Yes.
And there's a lot of violence that can be like perpetuated by the recognition of the nation state. But then knowing also that, like, I don't know, yeah, like maybe in 3 years from now when we have like another election, my citizenship is going to get taken away because these fascists in our government are constantly trying to harp on like getting rid of birthright citizenship, right? And they're not gunning for like, they're probably not going to be gunning for like, you know, like a second generation Russian settler who's white. They're going to be coming for people like you and me. And my, like, going through that citizenship process is going to be as hard as it is.
Yeah.
Right. Like right now, it's going to be even more bureaucratic and even harder if they like bring those things in place. Like, so it's, for me, it's kind of like a complex thing. Then also, as you were saying, like trying to be mindful of like what spaces, in what spaces, what roles we should be playing. Like in the space I can show up as a person of solidarity. And then in this other space, I can show up as a person of solidarity away from that, because that space isn't necessarily for me. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I also want to talk about what you just like said, like previous to this, but okay. For example, back in summer 2010, the BLM movement like had a huge resurgence in Vancouver. But also, just so everyone knows, BLM has been a thing, like even in 2010, but it just popped off in 2020. And I remember there was an event organized by our local Black community that I believe was supposed to be like a rally and then a cookout. And then like the poster said, everyone's invited, like, you know, and one of my friends, who is also very aware herself, and is also Chinese, asked if I wanted to go. And not harping on her in any sort of way, but this was like, I think, this conversation is a good example of what looking into your intersections mean. I didn't feel comfortable going, and I said I don't really want to take up space, especially if there might be like limited space for tickets, etc. I want that to go to someone who is like Black and in Vancouver to be able to access and celebrate with their community. Like, I can be an ally, but I don't necessarily need to be there. And she asked me, she's like, well, the poster said everyone's welcome. And I'm like, yeah. And I genuinely believe that the organizers mean that. But I also know that as a Chinese person, I could make someone uncomfortable because as a Chinese, you know, person, as Chinese people, we're not like, free of discrimination towards other people, towards other ethnic marginalized groups. So what might be me coming to celebrate, you know, with the Black community after a rally might make, you know, a member in the community feel unsafe and be like, you know, I was going to be here to celebrate, you know, and now this person who reminds me of like maybe a traumatic event I had, you know, even if I wasn't part of it, like, you know, that makes me feel unsafe. And I'm not going to be here to be like, but I didn't do it, so you should accept me being here. I'm like, no, I understand and I respect that. So I'm going to stay out of it. And the times that I should be showing up is when there are like protests and there is, I'm trying to make sure that I'm like safe for radio. When I should show up is when there are protests, especially by our Black or Indigenous groups, like be there to show up like in numbers and to protect protesters from cops. I would like to say that I believe in the summer of 2020 or maybe autumn 2020, somewhere in between there. There was a protest by our Indigenous community on the viaduct, and a few activists that I follow who are Black femmes stood in front of the Indigenous protesters to protect them from cops. And unfortunately, they were handcuffed and taken away to jail. But they did post online that there were white allies there at the protest. But as soon as the cops showed up, those white allies stood back. And, you know, we could go into the whole topic about police violence towards the Black community, both in America and Canada, and all that. But, like, I feel like anyone listening to this would know, and I don't need to explain the ABCs of it all. And so, sorry, going off on so many tangents, that's when my presence would be more important, more useful. I'm not saying that I can never celebrate with like other communities. It's just that if I only show up for celebrations and I don't show up for when situations are tough, like, what does that say about my allyship? What does that say about my self-awareness of who I am? Like BIPOC solidarity is what we want, but we can't just say BIPOC solidarity and be like, yeah, you know, we're all together because we're BIPOC. And it's like, well, we need to be active and mindful about how we interact with each other, how we support each other, and, you know, what harm may have happened to one community from someone from our own community. You know, I think it's a little, it's well-intentioned to want to go, you know, party at this cookout based on that conversation I had, but you still need to, you need to step back and know that sometimes, like you said, Leslie, like support sometimes is not being present in certain things. You know, I don't know if this would be like on the show or not, but I'll say, like, if I was at a Chinese or general Asian gathering and it was like super important to talk about XYZ topic, yeah, I do want to see a bunch of people even outside of our community there. But if we're celebrating after a hard day's work of protesting and suddenly there's an influx of like white people here, I'm not going to tell them to get out, but I'd be like, where were you like earlier, man? Like, you know, maybe Brad was here earlier, so Brad's welcome, but Chad, where did you come from, Chad? You just heard there were free beers? Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like you just come for the Tsingtao beers and that's it.
Before we move on, we're going to listen to a little bit more music. This is Yusu with Melaleuca at Night. Thank you.
True ray bird dawn.